think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Rather than have him go and tell you all these lies, you can go to DeSantisLies.com. But every time he lies, Drake University, don't turn this into a drinking game because you will be overserved by the end of the night.
Nikki Haley has this tactic. If you hold her accountable to her record, first she'll say, I never said that. Well, one good rule of thumb, if she says she's never said something, that definitely means she said it. Now that she's getting scrutiny, she's got this problem with ballistic podiatry, shooting herself in the foot every other day.
Ron's lying because Ron's losing. Everybody in the country sees it for what it is.
Everybody sees it for what it is. Ron's losing, according to Nikki Haley, in last night's debate in Des Moines, Iowa, at Drake University. And Ron DeSantis says she's got podiatry ballistics, constantly shooting herself in the foot. That was just a sample of some of what took place last night. Maybe you listened to it in part, entirety, or none. Well, I'm going to break out a lot of pieces for you. So in a way, I can save you 2 hours of your life unless you just wanted to spend listening to it. There are a couple other factors, of course, that are in play here. As they were off and running, Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis, the only two on the stage. Vivek Ramaswamy, extremely pissed. He did not meet the qualifying numbers in three different surveys that would have put him on the stage. And yet he felt he should have been there. You can debate that, argue it all the day long, but the bottom line is he was not there. Chris Christie was not there. He had not made the numbers. He didn't complain about it. He just knew he didn't. And in fact, Chris Christie suspended his campaign. Now, that doesn't mean he has quit necessarily. Suspension means he can continue to hold the campaign monies he's given, doesn't have to all start paying it all back, could hold it for a future campaign or to restart it. But as for now, Chris Christie suspending his campaign. So he was not there to attack Donald Trump. Oh, that's the other person. How could I almost forget that? You know I didn't. That's the other one who was not on the stage last night, Donald Trump. But the very fact that he wasn't there in person does not mean that he was not occupying space in the minds of those who were on the stage.
While the former president showcased yet another no-show, his absence didn't keep him out of conversation, as Haley and DeSantis try to carefully position themselves against him.
I think he was the right president at the right time. I agree with a lot of his policies, but his way is not my way. I don't have vengeance. I don't have vendettas. I don't take things personally. For me, it's very much about no drama, no whining, and getting results and getting them done.
Meanwhile, DeSantis takes a more direct approach.
He said he was going to build a wall and have Mexico pay for it. He did not deliver that. He said he was going to drain the swamp. He did not deliver that. He said he was going to hold Hillary accountable, and he let her off the hook. He said he was going to eliminate the debt, and he added $7.8 trillion to the debt. So we need to deliver and get this stuff done.
So in a way, yes, Trump was on the stage. He was actually at a town hall meeting with Fox News. There were a couple of things raised last night, reference Trump, and one in particular, a remark about that Trump had said, and he had said something to this similar the first time he ran, I'm so popular I could stand in the middle of the street and shoot someone and I wouldn't be charged with a crime. That was when he ran the last time. Now he's responded in a different way on one of his court cases that basically they were playing with last night on the stage because it's good fodder, good material, and the leftist media wants to play it up as well, that Trump is suggesting that he could kill a political opponent and he couldn't be impeached because of that. It had to be impeached prior to that before he could face criminal charges and or he could get immunity. The key point, he could be immune from prosecution if he killed a political opponent. Order to hit on them. Sounds confusing, doesn't it? It is. We're going to break it down for you as we move forward. Again, thank you for joining us. Here we are, Feb 10. Gee, boy, am I jumping ahead, and I'm missing the date as well. January 11. Let's not rush the year faster, Larry. Geez. January 11, 2024. Thanks for joining us for the first of 2 hours. First of 24 hours. I might as well blow the rest of it. First of 2 hours right here for you, 6 to 8 p.m., Monday through Friday. And reminding you, when we're on the air, we are streaming video for you at NewsTalk STL, Facebook, Twitter, and Rumble. Also, Larry Connors, USA, Facebook, Rumble, Twitter. And if I had my way, would clean up all my mistakes before they put them up. But we don't do that. We don't change anything, even if I make a wrong fact, like the wrong date. As long as I get Larry Connors USA out, that's my key. That's my mission. But as always, I appreciate you listening. If you miss anything, either now while you're in the car, or you're going somewhere, you want to pick it up later, or you want to watch it actually, go to LarryConnorsUSA.com. LarryConnorsUSA.com and find everything you want. So the economy, of course, is obviously a big issue with Americans. And in fact, the latest numbers out, let me check this. It may have changed again. One of the numbers I saw today, yep, here it is. This is a Breitbart source. That's not the only source. I checked others as well. Inflation reignites. Consumer prices rose at a faster pace in December. See, they always trail a few days after the preceding month. But inflation accelerated more than December, marking the 33rd consecutive month with annual prices rising significantly faster than the 2% target seen as being healthy by the Federal Reserve. How's that Bidenomics working for you, huh? The Federal Reserve was expecting a year-over-year increase of 3.2%. Just the 12-month gain in November was 3.1%. And, of course, compared with the prior month, when you look at the core figures, they're still up. But when they do this core figure, you've got to keep in mind, many times they are pulling out groceries and fuel needs. But I'm looking at a piece from the Department of Labor here that said that increased housing costs contributed over half of the monthly increase, and the energy index did rise 0.4% over the month, driven by higher electricity and gasoline prices. And you folks are to blame because you're not buying those electronic cars. We wouldn't have this gasoline. Of course, we'd have the electricity issue. Never mind. Go back to as you were. Buy one if you want it. I don't care. Good luck with making a long trip. But the food prices rose again in December. Now, grocery prices rose 0.1%. For many, that you don't even notice it. But for the others, it is critical. Same thing, gasoline prices. How many drive around and look at the signs on the service stations to see which is lower? And if there are two stations across the street from each other, they may be by our changing their numbers, trying to draw the people in. They just get you in for buying gas. Maybe they can get you going to the convenience store and buy even more. But immigration is still a major factor for our nation, our security. And that became one of the bigger topics last night. Let's begin with Ron DeSantis on it.
The number of people that will be amnestied when I'm president is zero. We cannot do an amnesty in this country. First of all, it's going to do is cause more people to want to come illegally. So you got to enforce the law. It's got to be consistent. People got to know it's there. You also have to remove benefits for people who are here illegally. We should not let states provide these benefits. You know, in Florida, obviously, we don't do that. We don't allow the driver's license and all that. But some states do, and it creates a magnet for people coming in.
It does create a magnet. And in fact, Alejandro Mayorkas even acknowledged that the other day in the sense that it's a pull factor that is bringing a lot of illegals here because they realize, boy, if I can get inside the U.S. of A., they're going to give me a driver's license, they're going to do this for me, give me a Social Security number, and I'll get to stay. Even though I've been given a statement that says, in 6 or maybe 10 years, you need to report to a court to adjudicate if you have reason to be here. By then, they've got a family, and every child born here with an illegal is an American citizen automatically. Nikki Haley addressed it on the national security issue as well.
You do not have to choose when it comes to national security. This is about keeping Americans safe. This is about preventing war. This is about keeping our military men and women from having to fight a war. And you only do that when you focus on national security, not telling lies to the American people that they have to choose. That is wrong. That's never been the case.
This is the UN way of thinking, that we're somehow globalists and we have unlimited resources to do. You know, I think here's the problem. You can take the ambassador out of the United Nations, but you can't take the United Nations out of the ambassador.
That's a pretty good line. I had to give him credit for it. And judging by the response of the crowd, many in the crowd were more DeSantis than they were Nikki Haley. Maybe just because he hit the cymbal and the drum roll at the right time, and she didn't. But judging by the crowd, it seemed to be more leaning that direction. Now, CNN has been doing a survey group, the same group of people, for all debates, the previous four and then the one last night. Now, the previous four, they were watching as a group, and I think they're all Iowans, they were watching as a group on TV, video stream or whatever. Last night, many of them, they were all willing to drive to Des Moines, Iowa, and watch it in person. So then CNN is doing its own little survey of that group to see where they stand as to who they think won last night's debate.
The very first question I have for you, who do you think won this debate? I'm going to ask for a show of hands. The reason we're with the same group of people all five times, we want to see what's changed in their opinions and what hasn't changed. So, who thinks DeSantis won this debate? 1, 2, 3, 4. Who thinks Haley won this debate? 1, 2, 3, 4. That's 8. Looks like some people who did not vote. Why didn't you vote?
I thought Donald Trump won the debate. I thought it was kind of
clear. Well, he wasn't here, but you're saying he won by not being here.
Exactly, yeah.
And Jim, I think you think the same thing.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I do. And Donald Trump continues to hold a commanding 30% minimum lead over either of the other two candidates, and often closer to 40 or better. And his attitude and his tactic has been, I don't need to get in the mud with them. Let them do their thing, sort it out, and the last one standing, then I will go on the debate stage in a primary race and debate them. It's not a bad strategy. I think it's better than the Democrat strategy. They plan to have no debates. There is no way they want Joe Biden on a stage for 30 minutes straight if it's a basic, really tight debate. And that one last night ran 2 hours. There's no way to imagine Joe Biden holding up under 2 hours and being coherent, in addition to maybe having a physical ailment, and I don't wish that on him. And we're going to have more on the debate and how the leftist media framed it. And that's a key point as to how they're doing it, presenting it to their audience. That's coming up in our second hour. That'll be in our second hour. But let's go to another issue, which also has the White House still scrambling.
What kind of commander-in-chief is President Biden that at a time when American forces are under fire in the Middle East, he can go days without knowing that his defense secretary is in a hospital bed?
Peter, there's a lot to your question, so I want you to bear with me for just a second. First of all, at no time was the ability for the United States military to defend our national security interests compromised. At no time was the commander-in-chief not always in command and control of our military forces around the world.
Well, that is true by the Constitution. But was he aware of things? That's the issue. Yes, by Constitution, he is commander of our armed forces around the world. And, of course, that was John Kirby, the National White House Strategic Coordinator, answering Peter Ducey on that question. And then they try to You know, I'll answer it. It's very complicated. Let me give a couple minutes, give you a few more answers. He added to that that while Austin was in the hospital, either the first or the second time, a strike was carried out against a target, but he also had to admit it was authorized before he went into the hospital. And again, I don't know if they're talking about the first or second time. Bottom line is they're scrambling. They're still trying to short up, say, it's okay. The president's already said, I'm going to keep Lloyd Austin. He didn't do anything wrong. Yes, he did. He did. He violated the chain of command, and you as a commander-in-chief should demand his resignation. But Biden's also said, I won't do that, and even if he offers it, I won't take it. Again, bad decision. As if I should expect some good decision from this White House. Now, Nebraska Senator Pete Ricketts said, and I'm going to devote a little bit more time to him on this, so bear with us. He said, everything that has happened with Lloyd Austin, the story, the reaction of the presidency, everyone else, it is total chaos.
The responsibility for keeping America safe ultimately lies with the President of the United States. But he has a team of critical advisors that are essential to ensuring that Americans are defended. One of those advisors is Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin. The Secretary links the chain of command between the President and the uniformed military. The law is very clear. If the Secretary of Defense cannot do their job, there are protocols in place to ensure the chain of command remains intact. The law also requires that proper notifications be made. Last week, Secretary Austin went to intensive care at a hospital after complications from surgery. We wish him well in his recovery. Yet, for 3 days, the Defense Department failed to notify the President, the National Security Council, even the Deputy Secretary Kathleen Hicks, that the Secretary of Defense was in the hospital and unable to perform his duties. So let me get this right. The Secretary of Defense is in the hospital, the Deputy Secretary on vacation in Puerto Rico, and nobody thinks to tackle the President? Are you kidding me?
Are you kidding me? Of course. I do need to correct the Nebraska senator on a couple of points here, because based upon what we'd been told already, and it wasn't 3 days that no one was notified once he went in January 1, it was the next day that his deputy chief was advised, and it was 2 days after he went in the hospital before Biden got advised, and it was 3 days after Biden went in the hospital the second time before members of Congress and the rest of the Defense Department were advised, like the joint chairs and chiefs of staff. A total failure. Yet they're still dancing around, rearranging the chairs on the Titanic. Coming up, speaking of the Pentagon, report that Taylor Swift might be a covert political agent. Oh, we got to look at that story for you. And also, the left will call you an extremist if you were trying to protect children from transgender surgery. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
It's been a very busy year for Wellington Environmental. Tom and his staff had traveled all over making sure that minor issues don't become major disasters. Then there are the times Wellington is called in for emergencies, but nothing Wellington hasn't seen before. They have certified inspectors, chemists, scientists, environmental planners, and that's just some of their expertise. That is why the St. Louis Business Journal gave Wellington such a high ranking. So what will 2024 bring? No one knows, but if you take time to visit the Wellington Environmental Facebook, you're going to see things that might explain health issues at your home or business affecting you, your family, clients. Wellington Environmental Facebook. Tom Wellington, and the entire staff wish you a blessed 2024. Your world, cleaner, better, safer. So, as always, be well with Wellington.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy, stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30 on News Talk STL.
What if everything you thought and believed to be true about owning and buying your home turned out to be wrong?
Straightforward, objective advice on the right way to make the most out of every dollar you put into your home.
We're the only country that has one of those. Most other countries, considering like Canada, the UK, they don't have long-term fixed-rate mortgages like that. They're all variable-rate mortgages.
HomeWise with Michael Midget, Sunday mornings at 9 on News Talk STL.
Great news for my sponsor, Napoli C. And it's no surprise to me, nor hundreds who have dined there. The first time I entered, it was clear Napoli C is unique. The decor, the fish, imaginative cocktails. And, of course, Napoli C is right next door to Napoli 3 in St. Charles. Napoli 2 is in Town and Country. The original Cafe Napoli is in Clayton. And I'm honored to endorse each of them. Visit any of the Cafe Napolis.
This is News Talk STL.
I am flesh and I am bone. Rise up, ting, ting, like glitter and gold. I got fire in my soul. Rise up, ting, ting, like glitter. Like glitter and gold. Like glitter. Do you walk in the valley of kings?
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. Let me put it to you this way. As I'd mentioned going into the break, we hear the term MAGA extremist all the time. We need to start using it against them. Deflect it. Turn it back. Leftist extremists. This would not be all Democrats. This would be those that were truly extreme, such as what happened in Ohio. And I'm not sure it's all Democrats involved in this, but we're going to break it down for you. But here's the basic. There was a bill that got passed to protect kids from transgender surgeries and being given hormones. And again, I assume this is even without parental permission. We'll get more details in a moment. The governor vetoed the bill. He vetoed it. Said, no, we're going to protect our kids. Then the House of Representatives in Ohio voted to override. There we have the stage set. Let me bring in my guest, Sarah Parshall Perry, Heritage Foundation, an expert, constitutional law, religious liberty, civil rights. Sarah, welcome aboard again.
Thanks for having me, Larry.
So let me get this straight on, as I detailed it, the House of Representatives yesterday overturn the Republican Governor DeWine's veto of that bill. Let's begin there with what it is.
Yeah, so this is called the SAFE Act, and it's Stopping Adolescents from Experimentation Act. Much needed, like this proliferate across the country. Now to this point, 25 of them restricting and prohibiting medical intervention for gender dysphoric teens under the age of 18. And that includes use of puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, or body mutilating surgeries. Rightly so, because listen, we know teenagers, and I have three of them, are sometimes want not to make the best decisions.
Yeah. And so, neither do adults, but you're right. Yeah. Sometimes your kids don't even know what they want to eat for dinner, do they?
That's exactly it. So that not just restricted this procedure, but it also guaranteed fairness in women's sports by ensuring that all schools in the state of Ohio, both at the K through 12 and at the college level, have to keep their university and school athletic programs separated. Very common sense bill did these two things. And again, they're in good company with anywhere between 22 and 26 other states passing bills that had these types of provisions. And Governor DeWine's sort of message to the public was, listen, we don't want to interfere with parents' rights. We want to make sure parents have the opportunity to make medical decisions for their kids. But here's the problem. Not only are procedures like this barbaric, and not only do parents not have a right to achieve certain medical types of care or intervention, he said nothing about the sex-separated sports issue. So on that respect, he didn't just fail the kids of Ohio. He really also failed the girls and women who are competing on scholastic athletic teams. And I think, really, there were a lot of jaws that were dropping in the GOP.
All right, let me, again, I want to make this straight. You said he, and you're right, I saw nothing in here about the transgender agenda reference sports. But when you said he, the governor was vetoing a bill to protect the kids from transgender surgeries. So he was willing to say, and he's a Republican, he's right, willing to accept this by vetoing it. The only thing that's changed is the Ohio House overrode him. And were
right.
Was that a split Republican partisan issue in the House?
Well, they actually had a supermajority, and all the Republicans, 65 to 28, voted to override the veto, which was really encouraging. I think they exercised a lot of courage, and they heard yesterday in an open session, a special session in the House, testimony and statements from legislators on both sides. And now it's going to go up to the Senate. And for the Senate to be able to override the veto and finalize that override, they will need 20 votes in the Senate. And the Senate president, Huffman, has already said, we have the vote and we are planning on taking up that measure.
All right. Now, is the transgender issue still wrapped inside this veto, or has that been separated?
No. So the bill, the SAFE Act, includes not just gender surgeries,
right,
but women's sports.
Okay.
And he vetoed the whole thing top to bottom. So the entire bill was no good until the House overrode the veto. But
and what is the reasoning for a Republican governor willing to say it's okay to mutilate our children?
Right. And that's the point I think a lot of people took with the veto, myself included. It was absolutely jaw-dropping to see a common-sense bill like this that has already passed in multiple other states to suddenly be eviscerated by a Republican governor when he's in good company with 20 to 26 other GOP governors who signed these laws, these entirely constitutional laws, I might add.
You want to speculate on why? You want to speculate on why he crossed that line?
Well, I'll tell you why, because I think he was lobbied very hard by the trans movement in the state of Ohio. And in fact, Children's Hospital, Cincinnati Children's Hospital in Ohio, actually donated not only thousands of dollars to DeWine's campaign, but hosted him on site to show him how involved they were letting parents be during the whole process. But Larry, I'm going to tell you something. The Daily Wire just released undercover footage. They got a hold of a training video, and in that training video, the doctors at Cincinnati Children's Hospital are being trained on how to circumvent parents and push kids who are a little skeptical or maybe on the fence into actively seeking gender surgery. So the entire thing is, it's a scandal.
Yeah, and it's affirmation, not healthcare. It's affirmation to push it forward. Now,
right,
you're listening, folks, to Sarah Parshall Perry, heritage legal expert, focusing on civil rights, religious liberty. Sarah, I'm going to use a couple terms, reference Governor DeWine at this point, that were actually used in Congress yesterday by two gentle ladies who are GOP congresswomen, reference Hunter Biden showing up at their hearing unannounced when he wouldn't show up for the subpoena. One of them, Congresswoman South Carolina Mace, said, "You have no balls." And then Marjorie Taylor Greene called him a coward. I think both of those could refer to DeWine, in my opinion.
Well, you know what? What he did is he bent the knee to a very small, vocal minority who likes to throw around terms like transphobe if you are commonsensically supporting women's equality and the safety and bodily integrity of kids. I don't care if I'm called a transphobe.
Of course
not. I'm not going to say men can be women or women can be men, and I'm not going to support a bill that is going to do anything other than prevent these kids from mutilating their bodies when they are in these volatile puberty years. The fact that he was so influenced, I think, shocked me.
Yeah, I'm shocked by it, too. But I figured you were going to tell me lobby groups got to him. But, you know, years ago, we would not have even had a discussion about boys born boys competing in women's sports. That was not even being crossed. What we did have then, though, that is reflected in this change here, is the feminist movement. Protect women. Women are strong. Hear me roar. And now they have been thrown under the bus, basically, and going to be beaten by biologically born males. And others are going to be talked into. It's not an issue if you have a mental issue with your body. And I fear for kids who go through this and they're truly messed up. But they're feeding on it. Others are feeding on it. And the kids are just, you know, it's a trend. When do we stop it?
Well, that's exactly it. It is a social contagion. Research has shown that. Abigail Schreier, a Wall Street journalist, wrote an incredible book called Irreversible Damage, The Transgender Craze Seducing Our Daughters, specifically because as an investigative journalist, she started pulling some of these populations and we would see astronomical rises in girls from the age of 12 to 17 who were suddenly expressing gender dysphoria. And what we discovered was peer pressure, social media, and underlying mental health diagnoses are actually lighting this entire contagion on fire, and it's really spreading. I think the more we can pass bills like the SAFE Act, and we can make sure that level-headed, right-thinking legislators are protecting kids and protecting women, I think the better off the next generation of kids in America is going to be.
But we have doctors you're just referring to that they're being taught in their school, their education, how to help the child accept transgender, affirmation of it, not let's see what your real cause is before we go to this next level.
Right. And we're actually seeing, Larry, as well, the use, the weaponization of custody and family law. Now we're seeing states, blue states, that are passing bills that take custody away from biological parents if they won't affirm a child's gender identity. It's unconscionable. This is really the elevation of what we've seen for many decades, which is the increase of cultural Marxism. And if we don't put a stop to it, we are definitely going to have a reckoning.
We need a reckoning, and I want it right now. I want to put a stop to it now and save children going down the road, because they're going to end up seeing they're going to be a patient for life going forward. Sarah Parshall Perry, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks for having me, Larry.
You bet. We'll do it again. Excellent. She's always excellent. And yeah, we need to put a stop to it. And the only way we're going to do that, folks, is one, at the polls, but two, you voice opinions against it each and every time. Don't let your child come home saying, you know, I think maybe I'm feeling like a girl that was born a boy. Sit down with your child. Get them with the mental health or your pastor or whoever that you trust will find out what their issue is, whether or not they're just trying to get along with the crowd at school or they really have an issue that needs help. But help is not immediately surgery or puberty blockers. Coming up, is Taylor Swift a political agent?
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I got an email which brought a smile. A woman named Mary wrote me, "We are purchasing a new roof from John Beale based on your recommendation." I thanked her then. I do it again now. Mary, I only endorse clients I believe in, and I've been a spokesman for John Beale for 10 years. It's all about trust. So if, like Mary, you need John Beale, trust me. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
I like supporting local companies that give back to the community. For more than 40 years, Vincent's Jewelers has helped raise more than $1.5 million for local charities. So I'm personally asking that when you're shopping for jewelry, give Vincent's a chance. And in turn, Vincent's will give even more to our community. On Olive, just east of 270. New specials every day on vincentsjewelers.com or Vincent's Facebook.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA! That's a big game, man!
She's really losing control.
Then China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Legal immigration is crazy right now.
This United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
Planning a move? I encourage you to call McGuire Moving. And they not only do moving, they can provide you portable storage. They'll bring a storage container to you. You fill it at your time and convenience. They'll pick it up, move it where you want it. Here's their phone number, 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Website, McGuireMoving.com. McGuireMoving.com. Locally owned.
This is News Talk STL.
Traveling in a fighter combi on a hippie trailhead full of zombies. I met a strange lady, she made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down under?
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Well, I want to tell you as I begin this piece, you're going to think it's got to be something from the B. You know, it's got to be sarcasm. It's got to be a made-up story. Well, here's the headline, and this is from The Hill, published in The Hill. Pentagon responds to claims Taylor Swift is, quote, front for covert political agenda. It goes on to say the Pentagon yesterday, Wednesday, responded to reports that singer Taylor Swift may be a front for a covert political agenda on behalf of the Biden administration. Well, let me stop and think about this. Let's figure this one out here. Taylor Swift is often at the Kansas City football games because of Kelce, the guy on the team that's a great player. They've fallen in love and everything, and she gets a lot of attention. She's even said that, I don't know how they find me in the box, which box or suite I'm in. The camera must be a mile away to get me. It's not. It's somewhere in the stadium. Someone in Tipsum. And, of course, she's up there cheering. She wants to be at the glass cheering, and if there's no glass they can open up, she wants to do that. And they get pictures of her every time. But the Chiefs have not done so well ever since Taylor Swift showed up. I'm asking, and maybe the Chiefs should ask, is she a plant to destroy our team? Just raising the question. But here's a statement the Pentagon spokesman made, and they call it a tongue-in-cheek statement to Politico. As for this conspiracy theory, we're going to shake it off. That's reference to one of Taylor Swift's songs, Shake It Off. See how they did that? Yeah. But she added, it does highlight that we still need Congress to act. Here they go again. To approve our supplemental budget request as swiftly as possible so we can be out of the woods with potential fiscal concerns. Once again, reference Taylor Swift. There was a statement from the Department of Defense. That statement, I should say, followed comments made by Fox News host Jesse Waters last night. During his show, he questioned how Swift had soared in popularity over the years, noting that her sold-out The Eras Tour has an economic impact greater than the GDP of 50 countries. That's pretty phenomenal. You can't take that away. In fact, he added, around 4 years ago, the Pentagon Psychological Operations Unit floated turning Swift into an asset during a NATO meeting. What kind of asset? A psyop for combating online misinformation. Because, oh my God, everybody believed Taylor over anything else that's said by anyone else, except Larry Connors. Yeah, I said that. The Fox News host then cut to a clip from a 2019 conference on misinformation titled Information Warfare, Defining and Analyzing, I should say. This was the 11th International Conference on Cyber Conflict in Estonia. Hey, if you don't know where Estonia is, you were not invited, and if you can't find it, tough luck. During the conference, one data engineer spoke about how famous people like Larry Connors, well, I'm sorry, she didn't use my name. It just happens. It's a flaw. It's like, I don't really speed. I just have a right foot that's kind of heavy, and it falls on the accelerator a little heavier. So I'm not speeding, and I'm just adding this stuff because it's inane. I can't help it. Anyway, she shared a statement saying famous people can be used to help share information or a particular message. She then shared an image of Taylor Swift standing next to a Go Vote sign. And she added, social influence can help encourage or promote behavior change. So potentially as a peaceful information operation, I include Taylor Swift here because she's, you know, a fairly influential online person. Yeah. And so were baby cats and kittens. Come on. She went on to note how celebrities in the U.S. regularly post photos of themselves, yep, with an encouragement for people to go vote. And she said it has a measurable effect on voter turnout. I will tell you right now, I don't post photos of me telling you to go vote, but I tell you daily here, make sure you vote. And if you meet me where I'm going to say the same thing. But I'm not that big of a social influencer, and I could care less. She also said, or rather commenting on the conference, Jesse Waters said, it is real. The Pentagon PSYOP unit pitched NATO on turning Taylor Swift into an asset for combating misinformation online. And then he questioned whether she could be a front for a covert political agenda since she has previously endorsed Joe Biden. Again, back to one of those who attended that meeting in Estonia. She said, my comments about during the 2019 conference were taken out of context. There it is. That word, it has a whole new meaning, does it not? With Bill Clinton, we got a new meaning for sex. I did not have sexual relations with that woman. And we learned the word deny, deny, deny. Or Dr. Fake Fauci right now, I can't remember the early days of COVID. So this one is taken out of context. The woman we were quoting earlier that was at the data engineer who was speaking about how famous people could be used, she said that was an academic presentation at an open conference for discussing cybersecurity challenges. And she said, adding that the conversation regarding Taylor Swift was, quote, an incidental example of a famous person to explain a social network analyst concept to the audience. She added, this is a commonly used approach in academia to make theoretical concepts, I should say, easier to understand. In other words, you don't understand if she says, you know, social media people, influencers, they can have a lot of influence on people. Well, I know the word influence. I know that must mean they have some influence. She threw Taylor Swift in there thinking everybody, now they'll get it if I add her name. And also wakes those up. What, Taylor Swift? Taylor Swift's here? Where? Now that I can see happening. Oh, my God, the way they go around this thing. This is a report coming out of Fox that says the GOP, and they're quoting their reporter Ducey, who covers the White House, says it's in disarray and Mike Johnson is hanging by a thread right now. That's because he got blasted, conservative backlash, because he agreed to a spending deal which did not sit well with the really strong caucus members. He had been a caucus member once before, Freedom Caucus. And now they're saying it could happen before February 1. Once again, they may have someone stand on the floor, Matt Gaetz or others, and say, no confidence vote in the House Speaker. Let's vote again. I'm going to caution against this. You have a razor-thin majority. You keep blowing yourself up like this, you're going to lose everything. And everything we've been looking at on the Biden-Hunter case, the rest of it, is going to go right up in smoke. And you, I will hold accountable if you continue to do this. I don't like this plan either, the money. I agree. I think we should be strong in some areas. Do not sacrifice your principles, but there's some areas that find some way to make it work. All right, we know COVID wrecked the U.S. economy and our children's education. We know that. And then, of course, we have all the crimes during COVID. Stolen directly COVID money and other crimes. Let's focus on what happened in Chicago schools when we continue.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount. They pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton. Cafe Napoli in Town and Country. Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles. Or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone. Or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Tens of thousands of laptops, iPads, and other electronics are missing from Chicago public schools. An inspector general's report found 77,000 devices were reported lost or stolen during the 2021-2022 school year. Total value, $23 million. The devices went missing after students took them home for remote learning during the pandemic. CPS spent $2.5 million on tracking software, but did not use it, saying it was flawed.
We have, in that report, thousands of computers missing from Chicago public schools, and all of it went missing during COVID, when students weren't even in the school. Somebody out there had keys and got in, and if they were break-ins, you would have noted broken windows, things of that nature. But again, based on that report, 77,000 computers are lost or stolen, amounting to something like $23 million, and all happening during COVID. How do I know about this story suddenly coming out of Chicago? Well, one of my boots on the ground, my boots on the ground correspondent in Chicago is Andrew, and he keeps me posted on this. So he wrote this, that wanted to make you aware of this. And I answered him immediately. I said, I'm getting an alert that you're using a Chicago public school computer. Andrew's quick response, oh, cat's out of the bag now. At least it could be some educational use. Maybe. But they have an inspector general for the Chicago public school system. So they thought, well, let's get him on this case. Let's find out where these 70,000 computers went. I mean, did they just disappear? Did COVID eat them?
Our work uncovered an incident where there were a pair of siblings, a brother and a sister at a school, who between them lost 9 or 10 devices. And there's no record or indication that the school district or anyone reached out to the family, mentioned that this was an issue, tried to figure out what had happened.
CPA says in a district of our size, some device loss is expected, but we remain concerned about the loss of any public asset. The district is now working on improving device tracking, has recovered 12,000 laptops so far.
Yeah, they recovered 12,000. And as you heard the inspector general for the Chicago Public School System saying, I'm looking at a couple of siblings who between the two of them have 9 to 12 items missing. Computers, laptops of various types, phones, who knows what all is involved. They did not just walk out the door. I mean, we're not back in the days of the Capone gangs and everything. It just, that box of booze just fell off the back of a truck. Don't know where it came from, but we'll use it. Chicago, again, is one of the sanctuary cities, and they feel they're being inundated unnecessarily and being targeted because they've got a black mayor. Well, you're the guys who elected him. Well, nobody's going after him because he's black. It's because you said you're a sanctuary city. The same thing in New York City. And Mayor Eric Adams is also complaining that we're losing so much. We're losing a high tax base. He's talking about all the people that are leaving the city. But we got all the immigrants coming in. But he knows they're not coming to contribute. They're coming to suck up resources that are available. Eventually, some might actually start contributing, but not anytime soon. I want to take a moment to rewind to yesterday. It was yesterday that two GOP congresswomen, who are often called gentle ladies, and they're speaking to them in Congress, be it House or Senate, they always refer to them as a, will the gentle lady react and give me a response? Will the gentle lady yield her time? Well, they were both calling out Hunter Biden for showing up at a hearing, sitting up in the front row, basically, after refusing to show up for that same committee meeting when he got subpoenaed. So South Carolina Congresswoman Mace went after Hunter immediately.
You are the epitome of white privilege, coming into the Oversight Committee, spitting in our face, ignoring a congressional subpoena to be deposed. What are you afraid of? You have no balls to come up here and...
Mr. Chairman, point of inquiry.
Mr. Chairman,
if the gentle lady wants to hear from Hunter Biden, we can hear from him right now, Mr. Chairman. Let's take a vote and hear from Hunter Biden. What are you afraid of?
Hold on. Order.
Are women allowed to speak in here or no? Because you keep interrupting me.
I'll interrupt the chairman. I don't know that he's a lady.
I think that that Hunter Biden should be arrested right here, right now, and go straight to jail.
Yes, I agree. That again, Mace. And when the other member was saying, I want to interject, I thought he was going to say, let's check and see if Hunter has any balls. He didn't want to go another direction. And then you have Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia going after Hunter because he started leaving when she started talking.
Excuse me, Hunter. Apparently you're afraid of my words.
Whoa.
I'd like to reclaim my time, Mr. Chairman.
Burst their bubble. Wow, that's too bad.
I think it's clear and obvious for everyone watching this hearing today that Hunter Biden is terrified of strong conservative Republican women because he can't even face my words as I was about to speak to him. What a coward.
What a coward. Yeah, I redid it again because I like it. It's my program. I can do it. And I knew you liked it as well. Coming up, a great hour for you. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.